clue number one. But the other thing I want to share is a little bit more about myself is that I have a scooter that I really enjoy. Some of you guys have seen it. Maybe you've seen pictures as we've been on Facebook and stuff. But I really enjoy riding my scooter. And the country roads here are great. Honestly, that's one of the awesome things that I looked forward to when we were talking about coming. I knew about Blue Bonnets because we lived in South Texas before, and so I knew that it was awesome here, so we've really enjoyed that this spring. Even driving around town, it's just really fun to get around, so I enjoy riding it, but one of the other things that I like about it is that I got a great deal on it, okay? I'm not like a super shopper, you know, I don't look for the biggest deals. Actually, a friend of mine found this on this great deal and passed on the savings to me. So I paid not what it's really worth, although it's kind of hard to tell what it's worth because it does have a rebuilt title. So you might know that that means it was in a wreck. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but there are scrapes all around it. So I'm just imagining this scooter rolling and, you know, twisting and turning. And I'm glad I wasn't riding it at the time, but I'm glad I didn't see it as well because, oh, my scooter. But the scars are there. So I'm up here today because Pastor asked me to come and speak. Actually, a couple months ago, I was supposed to fill in for her. She had a schedule to be out of town, but then the quarantine hit and the plans got changed. And then Pastor John, our children's pastor, resigned. And so that was to be his last Sunday, the Sunday I was supposed to share. And so I, without hesitation, no way I'm going to get in the way of letting him speak to y'all. So that was no problem. And so we got rescheduled for today. But I want to tell you that there is not a doubt in my mind that this word is for you today, even though it started 2 months ago. I've never prepared a message for 2 months, so it's kind of bottled up here, but I am so excited to share with you from Psalm 91, and just a little background on it, too. I came aware of Psalm 91. I mean, I'd heard it, read it before, but back in the beginning of March is when this message started in my heart for today. It was a Wednesday. We were getting ready for services, of course. But when we were gathering before the quarantine, we'd have Wednesday night prayer right here in the sanctuary. And so what we typically do is, as staff pastors, all of the pastoral staff comes in here and prays over whatever the subject is for that night. Well, there was this big virus going around China, and it was expected to go worldwide, and so we were praying against that. And I don't remember who wrote the email. I don't think I'm familiar with the author, but one of the verses she had in there, or chapters actually, was Psalm 91. And there were lots of other scriptures as well that we can pray according to God's word. But I got caught right there in Psalm 91. And I didn't know what we were headed into with this quarantine and the pandemic. I didn't know, but I just did some initial research there, and I knew that this is what God has for us today. So I'm super excited. I hope you're super excited. But before we dive in, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice, and we're happy, we're glad in it. And so, Lord, I thank you for your word that has stood the test of time that speaks to us today. Please help me to communicate this message to the best of my ability. Open ears and hearts to hear what you have to say for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you haven't already, turn in your paper Bibles to Psalm 91 or click on that Bible app and go to the events, Cornerstone Brenham. All right, so I hope you're ready. Ready or not, here we go. Psalm 91, I'm reading out of the NLT. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread that disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disease or the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of awesome words that are in that passage. Very encouraging, very positive. And sometimes we can take a passage like this, and I call it grab and go. We can read it and grab it and go. Like, we read it and it's self-explanatory, and we're like, yep, I need that. I need to live by that. That needs to be my creed. If I could just do that, man, so many problems would be solved, right? You can grab and go. Because ultimately, the point is of Bible reading is that our lives would be changed. Yes. It's not just for head knowledge. We don't read the Bible to understand more. We do, but it's not just to stay in the head. It's not even to move down into our hearts and have us feel the compassion and have all the feelings, but it's that our lives would be changed. It's that the Holy Spirit would come and empower us because we know what the word says, and empower us to lead different lives. But then there are other times where we may not understand so easily and have to dig a little deeper, do some research, and then we can understand it appropriately, accurately, and then apply it as well. And I know a lot of Christians in times of trouble look up passages like this, very comforting, very reassuring to us. And on the surface, these passages or verses are like, they look like the ones that we can grab and go, but I'm not sure that they fully understand what this psalm in particular is saying. So in fact, it's passages like this that we tend to think that it's grab and go that we really need to slow down and say, wait, is this really saying what it's saying? Because if we have that false understanding of it and we apply it to our lives incorrectly, then it's going to be disastrous for not only our faith, but the faith of people around us, because they see that God's word and the life that we're living are not quite adding up. So let's look at some big picture things before we dive in. Psalms is a collection of 5 books that's gathered over about 1,000 years. And each of those internal 5 books, they end by pointing to Messiah. Now, you got to picture yourself in the original audience, you know, in that context first before we apply it to ourselves. That's why I'm doing this overview. So, of course, they were looking forward to Messiah. They were hopeful. They were anticipating. And we know, of course, that Jesus is the Messiah. He has come, amen. And we are waiting and we are anticipating his return. So we're just like before Messiah came, we're anticipating, we're hopeful, we're expecting, because Jesus, when he comes, will make everything right. Now, considering the genre, it's important to realize what genre we're reading when we read the Bible, because the Bible as a whole is 66 books. There are lots of different genres within the Bible. So even within Psalms, these 5 different books have 5 different themes, and so we need to understand what genre we're reading so that we can accurately understand and then apply what we read. So maybe it goes without saying, Psalms is a collection of songs. However, it's not as cut and dry as that. Some are thanksgiving songs, some are prayer and petitions, some are sorrowful, historical recaps, praises to God, and there's even more. But each psalm basically has its own theme, although it fits within that book that it's in. But some, like Psalm 91, even kind of seem to have multiple themes. So let's take a closer look at that. Psalm 91, it's about trust and devotion. We get that a lot. The author expresses confidence in God, power in his presence, and heartfelt devotion to God. However, there are parts of this psalm that resonate with Jesus as the Messiah. Did you catch in verses 11 and 12 that these are the verses that Satan uses to tempt Jesus at the beginning of his ministry? So to me, it kind of looks like after verse 10, it pivots from being directed not to us, the audience, but to the Messiah. It's messianic. From our New Testament perspective, we know that that's the verses that Jesus was tempted by or that Satan used to try to tempt Jesus. But even the original audience, again, we got to remember what they're saying first or seeing and understanding. They would have noticed this talk. These verses would have jumped out to them because of the connection to Genesis chapter 3, where God promised that the Messiah would crush the serpent, Satan's head. So we know that is what that's applying to. Now, real quickly about the author, we don't know. We're pretty sure we don't know. But it could be Moses, because again, the Psalms are a collection of all these different songs, so it's not chronological. Actually, the whole Bible is not really chronological. It mostly is, but Psalms specifically is a collection. They said, we're talking about deliverance and stuff. Let's grab these and these. Or this is about temple worship. Okay, we're going to grab these and put them together in books. Okay? So it could have been Moses because what it sounds like Messiah. It's a lot of future. It's a lot of hopeful, like anticipating greater things to come. But it sounds like David too. Old King David, you know, he was longing for restoration. And so it kind of sounds like him as well. So we're really not sure on that as well. I actually found a video that I really liked. It's actually on 2 Samuel. It's a song of David. I'm going to publish that on Facebook here at 12 o'clock. That'll be released. It'll come out on our page, so you can enjoy that video this week. It's just 2.5 minutes. But for the sake of time, I'm moving on. All right. When I prepare a message and when I study the Bible myself, I like to do word studies. And so that's what I'm doing here. I guess you could say I'm more of a literal type of studier or maybe a studier of God's word. I like to examine the pieces of a verse, right? And then that helps me to understand those pieces to come to a better conclusion on the whole thing. So it helps, makes me feel like I have a better understanding. So that's what the bulk of this message is, almost verse by verse. So verse 1, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. All right, this is one of those instructions or promises. Yeah, it's an instruction and a promise, but it's conditional, okay? It's a covenant. It's like a contract that God is making with us. Now, it's not as obvious as like 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people pray, then I will heal their land, right? That's pretty obvious. If you do this, then I'll do that, right? But that's still true about this first verse here. You won't be able to rest in the shadow of the Almighty if you don't live in the shelter of the Most High, right? They're hand in hand. You need both. So it's important for us to live in this shelter that he has for us. So what does that look like? Well, beyond the obvious of what shelter means to us, we understand. Oftentimes the Hebrew word here for shelter is used to describe a secret hidden place. This is exciting. This isn't like how it was in the Old Testament, in the old temple, where only the priests could go in the Holy of Holies. That was the secret place. That was the hidden place. For only few eyes had seen, very few men were able to access the very presence and throne of God. But even here in the Old Testament, God is saying, I want you to rest in me and hide yourself in me in the Holy of Holies, the secret hidden place. Because that's where God is. It speaks of relationship with God. And we know that because of Jesus' sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood gave us the access. That was the cost, that was the price for us to gain admittance into this secret place, to have relationship with God. So God will give us rest if we live, and I want to emphasize that real briefly too, to constantly live, right? No in and out. You know, not when, oh, things are good, I don't need God. No, live. Plant your feet. Plant roots. Stay seated right there. Live in this place, this secret place of the Most High God. Yes. All right, verse 2. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety He is my God, and I trust him. So a refuge is a place of safety. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for refuge is used literally and figuratively in different places and is translated in other passages as hope. Okay, so for example, Jeremiah 17:17 says, "You alone are my hope in the day of disaster." What's he saying? He's saying that you, my hope, is my shelter. My hope in you is my shelter. Hope was his refuge. Our refuge is the hope that we have. Not that everything will get better. We're not hoping that, you know, we do hope that we're on the backside of this quarantine and the pandemic. We hope that everybody's going to stay safe and be good. But our hope is not in wishful thinking. Our hope is in God. He is the Lord. He is the one who has everything under control. And just like the psalmist said, I trust him. Now, we can't really trust God if we don't have hope. If we don't really trust him, he won't be our refuge. So hope and trust in God is our refuge. And I don't want to skip over this phrase, he is my God. Pastor Pat has really been speaking that out the last few weeks, at least, I think. And I think that's so important for us to own our relationship with God. He is my God. He could have easily said, he is your God. He is our God. No, he is my God. Right? He wants to have a personal relationship with you as well. Would you say he is my God? He is my God. He's not your parents' God. I mean, he might be, but he's not your spouse's God, and he might be, but he needs to be your God, your personal God, your personal Savior. Yes. Verse 3, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Rescue, I looked up in Strong's definitions, to snatch away, defend, deliver, escape, pluck, preserve, recover, rescue, and save. The NIV translates the Hebrew word to save. Instead of saying he will rescue you, he will save you is what that says. Oh, lost my place. He will save you from the fowler's snare is actually how it goes there. And it makes that more obvious that you can see even in the NLT, that the point is that when you are trapped, he will save you. He will rescue you. He will pull you out. He will bring you out of it. Now, rescue really implies that somebody needs rescuing, right? Yes. See, mankind as a whole sure needs rescuing. Yes. That's why God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to rescue us from the biggest trap that we could fall into, sin. And to get us out of that sin trap, we need Jesus to rescue us. But then what about after we've been set free? Does that mean we will never fall into another trap again? Well, the psalmist says that there are more traps set out for you. There are multiple traps. And this is directed to us as Christians because it's directed originally to who? God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And obviously the Jews, they had their fair share of traps, maybe even more. They had injustices. They had exiles. They were not spared from bad things happening, and they were God's chosen people. But when bad things happen, God was with them and saved them. I'm sure that while the Jews were in slavery in Egypt, while they were in exile to Babylon, or while they were being ruled by Romans, that they didn't feel like God was with them or saving them in the moment. Now, the same is true for Christians. I don't know one Christian that has not had to go through something bad. And Jesus himself said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. The traps may be many in your life. They may be few and far between. And that's actually a tactic of a trapper or our spiritual trapper. He'll put them few and far between because we'll skip by one or we'll just be freed from one and we'll go for a while thinking, man, I haven't encountered a trap in a while. I haven't been tempted. I haven't lost my cool. I haven't done this. And then and then it gets you. That's a tactic of a trapper. Yes. So we shouldn't be fooled that we're going to escape every trap. Praise God that he does direct our steps and sometimes it does go around a trap. But when we find ourselves in a trap, He is with us. He is there. And he will rescue us and he will save us. This is what this is saying. So just one more thought before we move on is, when you find yourself in a trap, why would you deny God the opportunity to help you? So just admit it. Just say, yep, I'm stuck. Whatever the situation is, I need help. God, I need you to rescue me. And he'll receive the glory for that, and he will gladly come and rescue you, save you. But one more thing on this. Everything I was talking about was pretty much physical. I did reference, you know, spiritually, because spiritually we do live in that, or let me back up. If we continue to live in the secret place of God, there's nothing that can touch us, okay? I don't want to come across that I'm like creating fear or anything. Oh, I have to watch out for what traps are gonna, you know, life is just so dangerous out there. And then even spiritually, the devil's after me, you know, like, okay, no, nothing can touch you, okay? Even if we stumble, even if we fall, even if we're in a trap, it's okay because nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot of absolute statements there, right? I don't think there's nothing. I think he wants to make it perfectly clear that nothing can separate you or release you from God's love, okay? You don't have to worry about getting caught off guard or falling into some trap. God, oh, where are you? Hey, it's okay. He's with you and he will rescue you. I like the NIV translation that specifically says a fowler's snare, like I just mentioned, because it gives us that idea that the one setting snares or traps is being intentional, right? He is. He places his traps without knowing or without us knowing, and he uses different methods to try to get us. We have to realize we have an enemy out there. But our God is greater, our God is bigger, our God is stronger, smarter, and when we're with him, we win. We need to remain in him if we're living in that secret place. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. It's a wonderful, beautiful picture of protection. Even though I don't think wings would be very strong to protect. So it's not intended to be literal. It's a great figurative statement there. But remember shelter, to be in the hidden secret place, furthering that idea that we can have intimacy with God, knowing him and being known by him. That's the picture we get with being under his feathers, like a mother chick, or mother, you know, protecting chicks and little birds. But instead of promises here, the NIV just says, his faithfulness will be a shield. So the idea that the NLT is giving us is that God and his promises are never ending. His promises are never ending. His faithfulness is never ending. His goodness and his love is never ending. He is always faithful. His promises are always faithful. They're ongoing. His promises are always with us. It's important for us to know this, to understand. It's important for us to find them in the Bible, right? We need to read the Bible to find the promises that God gives us because they're true. They're always true. Just like his faithfulness, his promises, his truth will be our armor, our shield. Even a large shield is the idea that the psalmist gives us. And he gives it that the promises give us protection, like from the shield, or even from a wall, you know, a thick wall that you can hide behind that lots of things, it can sustain many blows, arrows, even explosions. You know, you're pretty safe behind a wall. You're pretty safe when you're holding on to God's promises. All right. So again, for the sake of time, I wanted to share even more, but I've created a little image that's going to be live on our page here at 12 o'clock. So you can save that. You can print it and put it in front of you so that you can remember these promises of God. All right, so I need to skip down to verse 9, but verses 5 through 8 go on about more things that the Lord shields and protects us from as we stay in him, because the promise is to remain in him, to live in him. All right, so verse 9, we've gone over refuge and shelter already. So here it is. If you make the Lord your refuge, your hope, if your hope is in him, if you make the Most High your shelter or your hidden place in God, then verse 10, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Now again, the psalmist isn't saying that nothing bad will ever happen to us, but evil will not overcome us. A plague is a disaster, and certainly we've seen disastrous things happen to Christians. I was actually able to go on a missions trip after Hurricane Katrina, some years after it had happened, and it was still a disaster area. And I'm sure there are Christians there that suffered and went through all of that. And I know Christians today who are hurting in one way or another due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But listen to me, it may look like you're about to be taken out, but you will survive. You might feel like you are drowning, like it's you're getting up here, I'm in over my head, but you still have a purpose. God still has a purpose for you. If you're still breathing, he's right there with you. Even if your life ends, he's still got you.
That's right.
Right? Because we don't, this is not our home. We have heaven to look forward to. So it won't be a matter of God being with us. It'll be a matter of us being with God at that point. Amen. Praise the Lord. So verse 13 shows us that we are not just survivors, or 11 through 13. All of these verses show us that we're not just survivors, but victors. And now in these last two verses, the psalmist repeats some of our words. Verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue, bring to safety, to escape, not to spare, but to deliver those who love me. I will protect or shield those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Now, here's kind of like the summary of all of this and what really jumped out at me 2 months ago when that caught my attention, is that rescue here doesn't always look like what we think it will look like. Sometimes rescue doesn't mean what we think it means, and it doesn't happen the way that we hope that it would happen or wish that it would happen. See, the Hebrew here could actually mean to equip or prepare for what's ahead. So sometimes we pray for a pass to get out. You know, we want to get around that thing. We want to get out of a bad situation, and we may get that, but sometimes God may give you a sword to fight the battle instead. But the point is, he's with you. Whether you get to go around a battle or you have to go through it, he's with you and he'll prepare you. Because he's Emmanuel. He is God with us. Love that about God, that he may call us to do hard things, but he doesn't say, okay, I want you to go over there and do that hard thing and go do it yourself. No, he says, I know it's going to be hard and I'm going to be with you through it all.
Yes.
Just a couple more thoughts before we close here. God works everything out for his good. You probably heard Romans 8:28 before in your life. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. There's a purpose for you. And if you continue to love in God, you remain in him. Don't in and out, no in and out. Stay in him, in relationship with him. He will work it out for good. Another thought I had is to trust truth over your feelings. Feelings come and go, but as I said, God's promises are always, they're constant. They are right there. They're always there for you. And I can tell you that even in this pandemic and the quarantining time, there have been days where I've been good and Pastor Anna, my wife, has not been so good. Or I've been bummed out and she's been good. And there are just days that you go through like that. It's okay, but we don't want to live there for sure, right? And I thank God that we weren't both found in a bad time, having a hard time, because we're able to encourage one another. But the point is, don't trust your feelings because they change.
Yes.
If you continue to trust the Lord and you trust the truth of his word and the promises that he has spoken and written there for you through all these ages, he's spoken them to you specifically. You trust him. Your feelings will start to catch up. You do the right things first, even beginning in little things. So if you've had a particularly bad day or even a bad couple days, I encourage you to focus on our unchanging God, the promises. Put your hope in God. Commit to loving Him and living in Him, and again, your feelings will catch up. And then one more thought I had was to trust God's past performance record. If things in your life look so bleak right now, and it may be, you may be so foggy right now that you don't see any way out, and maybe you can't even see what has gone on behind you. Maybe you can't even recall how God has helped you in the past, so you don't may not feel like you have a past performance record that you can trust God in. Well, first of all, if you've asked Jesus to save you from your sins, that's a past performance record. That's that God has said, I love you enough to send my son to you and for you to die for you so that we can have a relationship. So God has done something miraculous and marvelous in your life. But even if you can't hardly see that, or maybe you're a young Christian, a new Christian, and you're just, you know, kind of, I gave my heart to the Lord last week and I feel like I've got a target on the back of my head. You know, well, that's true. Remember, we talked about that. We have an enemy that's after us. Yeah, you may feel like that. So turn to God's word, because His promises are not only found there, but the proof is right there as well, that He promised that they would be have Messiah, and He came. They were promised to be freed from Israel or from Egypt, and they were. They were promised to get returned back from exile, and they were. So God proves Himself over and over again in His unchanging word. That's why the Bible is so important. We can trust Him because He is faithful. And you may think that He's letting you down, but in the end, you will see that He is always faithful. Hindsight is always 20/20. We seem to have a better perspective on the other side of it. We can see, oh, I can see why that happened, you know, or part of the purpose in what we do now and what we go through now is for some future event. We go through something now so that it prepares us for what's coming ahead. Okay, so take courage in that, take hope in that. Don't think, man, I've been through a lot of junk, so I hope that it's not for more junk, but we're stronger because of it. God is with us even through it. So kind of in conclusion, this world is not our home. I've mentioned that before. And if you have no other hope, you know, maybe you have no portfolio, no retirement, no savings, you're just living paycheck to paycheck. We have a hope that you and I share. And it doesn't matter what we have in this world. You may be the most wealthy person that's watching this stream right now. It doesn't matter. You can have all of that because it's going to pass away. Our hope is not in our stuff. Our hope is in Him, the eternity that we get to spend with heaven. Jesus is there now, preparing that place for us. It's a homeland that's more home than we can feel at home here. Jesus is preparing that place for us, and that's going to be amazing. We're just waiting for God to give Him the green light, and He will be with us. I don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. I don't understand lots of things in life, but like regarding this, you know, yeah, there are things that are happening that it would be so good, God, if you would just make it happen. Send Jesus again. Let's do this thing. But I think it'll only be once we're on the other side that we're going to look back and say, okay, I see what you did there. Yes. You know, because some things had to happen. The point is, He is God and I'm not. Right? He is the name above all names. He's the one who understands it all. That means I don't have to understand it all. Right? If we demand to God, why did this happen? Why did this bad thing happen to me? I need to know. You tell me. Then we're demanding that we elevate ourselves to God's position. And there's no one like our God. We cannot be like that. We can't have all the answers. Isn't that what faith is anyway? Where we don't have all the answers, where we're walking this out with a hope that we have in Him. Yes. So God promised the Jewish people a Messiah, and He delivered on that promise by giving us Jesus, God with us. He was with us. He was with those people 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine, you know, like seeing Jesus? This is the Messiah, even though He wasn't widely accepted as the Messiah. But Jesus then turned around and gave us the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So He really is with us. even more than it was in the Old Testament or when Jesus was around, because he was limited to time and space in one place at one time, right? Holy Spirit is here right now in the sanctuary and in your home and all around the world. He's everywhere at the same time speaking to our hearts if we let him. He's closer than a brother or a best friend. When he's with us, we have all that we need, not only to get through life, but to survive and to thrive. Not just survive, but thrive. Remember my scooter that I mentioned? It has the road rash and the scars and the nicks. I enjoy riding it, despite those scars. It doesn't matter to me that it's got those scars. I still enjoy it. And that's true about our loving Heavenly Father and you. That you might feel like you have scars. You may really do have scars. You may have deep wounds that haven't even healed, haven't even scarred, because you might pick at it and it, I don't want to get gross, but it's still very real. And it's just like it happened today, even though it could have been decades ago. God still loves you. And I'm sorry that those things happened to you. I don't understand why he allows those things to happen, except that he was with you then, he's with you now, and that he'll help you. There's a purpose for that. Whatever the subject was, maybe you were abused, maybe there are things that happened. God's preparing you to maybe speak to those issues, to speak against others that might be abused. God's using you. He can use you. So the question for you, if you experience that in all of this, is God good? You know, that's the question you have. Is God faithful? Yes, he is. And you may not feel like it, but choose the truth, and your feelings will catch up. He wants to heal those wounds that you have today. So why not let him? I think today is the day. I think now is a good time for you to say, God, I'm going to release this to you. I'm going to allow you to come in and heal those wounds that I have. That would be a good thing. So set yourself free by forgiving God and start living in his shelter, his protection, and his provision, his presence. We're going to start praying to close out our time together. If you're a leader in our church, what we call prayer partners that typically come to the altar, I want to encourage you to pray now, because there are people that are dealing with some deep wounds, some serious hurts, or some that are just questioning right now because of quarantine, or they've lost their job. I mean, there's a variety. So let's pray for those folks. But maybe, again, if you've clicked here and you've just found yourself on the stream and hopefully you've listened to the whole message and you've thought, man, I don't think I could ever have a relationship with God like that, I want to tell you it's possible. It is very possible that the worst sinner, the worst person in the world can be redeemed, can be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's because God loves us, even the worst of us. So if you count yourself as among the worst, your greatest need is to know Jesus and to have him forgive you of your sins, but you need to let him. So if you're thinking today is a good day to do that, I'd like to pray with you. And you can pray along with me. It's just a simple prayer, but it's powerful, because if you mean it, God will start to change your life. And that's an awesome thing. It's the most miraculous thing that can happen. So I want to pray with you right now. Just pray with me. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I have made mistakes, but I believe in Jesus. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you rose again. I confess my sins to you, because I don't want anything in between you and me. God, take my heart, mold me, change me, transform me, to be a better person, to be made like you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you meant that prayer, that means that God is beginning to work in you. And so we would love to partner with you in that. So would you, if you're watching on the YouTube, and you can shout out in the chat, say, hey, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Rob right now. You will receive the most support, because I've been a part of that chat stream before, and they will love you and encourage you. Or if you want to just call the office, that's great. Send us an email, whatever. So hit that contact information form. We would love to help you along in that journey. So for those that are still praying for shelter, for protection, there are those that are dealing with those hurts and the need healing. We want to pray special for you as well. Those that feel like you need that rescuing now. You feel like you've been in that trap, and maybe it's just you've been in your house too long, and you're like, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord is here to help you and rescue you as well. So let's pray. God, thank you that you are our shield, that you are our protection, that you are our shelter, that you are the place that we can live in, and that all that we need is really found in you. If we just abide in you, if we live firmly planted in you. God, I pray for those that can identify, if they're being really honest with themselves, that they can admit that they've gone in and out of your presence. They haven't committed to you. They haven't committed to daily walking with you. I pray that you would just wrap your arms around them and let them know that you love them, that you just want to spend more time with them. It's not about legalism, about attending church every week because you have to. It's about wanting to be in God's presence so much that you just would not want to miss it at all. So God, just work and Holy Spirit, speak to these hearts, Lord, that realize that they need to do these disciplines, that they need to read their Bibles, that they need to pray, they need to listen to worship music so that they're feeling more in touch with you. I pray for these promises that we will go out and seek, whether it's through the image I get to share later or we discover on our own what you're saying to us today, that we would hold on to those, that our hope would be in you, that we would not waver to the right or to the left, but we'd staying the course, holding on to your promises, putting all of our hope and our trust in you. For those that have those past hurts, those deep wounds that they're needing healing, Jesus, would you come and heal? I know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you will heal today because you healed in the past. You'll continue to heal. So just do what you do and just help these folks that need that wound cleaned out, that need that a fresh bandage put on. May you be the healing balm right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. I just want to encourage you too, before I hand it over to Pastor Pat, keep this message in front of you, keep this psalm in front of you, and to do that, if you've been following along in the Bible app event at the bottom, there's a 5-day reading plan that you can start today, you can start on Monday, and there's a lot of great stuff in there. So God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and to hopefully bless God's people. And everybody have a great week.